It's Monday, November 5th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, the longest-running tech podcast, show number 814, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get 20% off your total order using promo code GO20OFF. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Everyone, got a great show lined up for you. No green screen. I was absolutely just crushed busy today and didn't have time to get it up prior to the show. We'll have it up on the next show. But I got a lot for you tonight. Unix comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
No.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the heartland of Texas via the Geek News Central Portable Studio. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I want to give a warm welcome to all of the Ohana and everyone that is tuned in for the show tonight. Thanks for being here. Of course, we want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content we've got over there. And I tell you, really, when you're over at the website, the easiest thing to do is get subscribed to the show, and you do that by really going over that orange box in the second column, and all you have to do is click on the iTunes link or subscribe to an RSS feed and basically use your favorite podcatcher or your mobile device to subscribe to the show. It's real easy. Even if you come in with an iPad or an iPhone, just clicking on the RSS feed will automatically load the show in your podcast app, the Apple Podcast app, so make sure you do that. And that way you'll never miss a single episode. We want you to get signed up for the newsletter as well. And all you got to do is go up to the top of the website. There's a link there for newsletter. Once you find the, once you get the page loaded. And all that really does is give you all of the show notes for the show. And we're going to send that out immediately following the show. I have all the links to all the topics I'm going to talk about tonight. You're not going to get barraged with a bunch of people chattering and so forth. It doesn't work that way. So we want to make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com, sign up for the newsletter, and get subscribed to the show. Of course, we want to give a warm welcome again to all of the Ohana, all of you that are longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being here and being part of the family. If you missed the live show, don't worry. You can catch us on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV. We're basically in any set-top box that's available, including the Apple TV as well. And don't forget, you can contact me on Twitter, real simple, by tweeting me at Geek News, or you can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. Our hotline is open 24 hours a day as well at 619-342-7365, or you can really simply just come to the website, and basically there's a send comment on the right-hand side of the page. That's the easiest way to comment about the show, and we want you to do so. So feel free to reach out at any time about the show, and we definitely appreciate any feedback that you may have that you want to share with us. I tell you, I've got a lot of stuff in the stack to talk about tonight. We'll get into that here in a few minutes. I want to take a few minutes, of course, and I want to thank GoDaddy.com, one of our longtime sponsors here at Geek News Central. And we've got a great way for you to save money this quarter, or actually this month, actually through the end of December, to be honest with you, by using that 20% off code, by using, again, promo code GO20OFF2. That'll save you 20%. We had a bunch of people take advantage of that code last month and save a bunch of money on hosting accounts and domain names. Got the report in today. I want to thank all of you. Thank you very much for your support last month with GoDaddy. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor again here in November as well. Now, one thing I do want to point out is that we've got a whole bunch of promo codes available. And if I come back over to the website, see if I can make this transition smoothly. You're going to see the GoDaddy promo code link on the website. Just click on that. That's going to load the page that basically has all of my codes. I think there's 14 there for you to choose from. And actually, our Our special, our .com special, is going to kick off here in a couple of days. We'll be talking about that in the next show. But anyway, lots of ways to save. Mix and match the promo codes. Don't necessarily get everything on one buy. Try to use the codes to the best of your ability to save money. And, of course, our $12.99 SSL certificates are really the cheapest in the space. So definitely we'll want you to use the codes wisely and save yourself a great deal of money. Again, you'll find that link on the main website at geeknewscentral.com. And thank for all of you that are supporting GoDaddy as a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. All right, let me look in my short list of stuff to talk about before we get into the actual full-blown tech show tonight. Yeah, I'm here in Texas once again. I hit the ground running. Crazy busy. I think it's going to be one of those weeks where I'm just going to be gasping for breath by the end of the week. But I think this is my last trip until maybe December. I may have to travel again the first week of December. I'm keeping my fingers crossed to be home through Thanksgiving and everything else. And so two shows on the road, this show and the next one, and then we'll be back in the studio in Honolulu. This time, the studio traveled pretty good. They didn't bang it up any worse than it already is. And it turned on, and everything's working. Everything appears to be recording. And, I was very smart tonight. I hit the record button on the video, so I think we're going to get a good video tonight, which is, this all about me making sure I hit the right buttons on this thing. And once again, if anyone has any influence with the folks over at Wirecast, they need to get hooked up with the folks from Blackmagic Design to make the ATEM television studio and the Wirecast solution talk to one another. It just makes it a lot easier. I wish I could show you this one screen, and maybe I'll do that on the Thursday show and show you the challenges I have in switching this by. Sometimes when I come back to the screen, you still see the lower third. For those of you that are listening, you guys could care less, but it's a two clicks to make that happen. And at home in Honolulu, that's just one click, and it switches fine with the TriCaster. But anyway, that's no here nor there. Let's go ahead and go through the rest of the list. Podcast awards. Traffic is moving, and we had a big show, make a YouTube announcement, I think Friday, and wow, I mean, it was incredible to see that just an explosive increase in traffic. But what's kind of funny is they got that huge increase, and then those votes for that show came back down again, while a lot of the other shows stay nice and steady. So really, to where it's going to be for most of the shows is that consistent voting every day by their audience members. So we're a few days in here, and of course, voting wraps up on November 15th. If you haven't been over to the Podcast Awards site, basically get over there and get signed up. And we want to encourage those of you that are listeners, if you're near Vegas, to consider coming to the Podcast Awards. Really, that's going to be a great event to go to, and consider coming out to the Podcast Awards and New Media Expo. If you're a content creator, we want to see you there as well. It's going to be a great event. And link will be up in the show notes on how to register for New Media Expo. So, if you're thinking about it, please consider it. And actually, I got to get emailed out the other podcasters their promo codes, because they have earned a discount. So we'll get those out in the mail to them, I think, later tonight when I get done with the show. So let's see here. What else is in my quick stack here before we get into the content? Did a Saturday morning tech show, and basically talked about the New York City blackout because of Sandy. We talked about some stuff going on, privacy in the digital space. So that's some interesting topics there. And basically, we went long. Matter of fact, at the end, we were kind of just chatting, and someone in the chat room says, "You guys are just having a conversation." And I'm like, "Yeah, I probably should have ended this show 20 minutes later. See you later." And we pulled the plug, but long one there on Saturday morning tech, so definitely check that out. Hey, I want to give everyone advice for the election. Keep calm. Because guaranteed, 50% of this audience is going to be very happy tomorrow night, and 50% of the audience is going to be very pissed off tomorrow night. So just keep calm, okay? Please keep calm. Matter of fact, to get a movie, don't even watch. Maybe take a peek at like midnight or something like that. That might be better for your blood pressure tomorrow. And, you know, I think all of us are going to be like, which way is it going to go? But just keep calm, take deep breaths. And yes, for those of you that have lived in some of these states like Ohio and Iowa, and some of these states that are supposedly going to decide the election, your vote actually may be the one that really counted. So make sure you get out and vote. And the ads will be all over too, so that's good. I just want to talk real quick. You know, the show has sponsors, and it basically helps me keep the lights on and my family fed and everything else. But what I'm trying to do is I have one more member, one more support person I want to bring to CES. And so I'm going to do a special appeal tonight. I'm trying to do a special raising of money right through the Insider program. I need to raise a couple thousand dollars. So if you want to help us out in making sure we get one more additional support person out to Vegas, and you want to do a one-time contribution to the show, I definitely appreciate it. I know I had a great one come in the other day. A guy made a one-year payment. I want to thank him for that. But if you want to really do kind of help the show out and make a one-time payment, there's a link on the Insider page in order to be able to do that. And again, I'm trying to raise about $2,000, just enough money to help really pay for one additional support member. We're really, you know, watching the budget this year and trying to make every dollar count. And it's just one of those things where it's not quite there in the budget right now. And we would definitely appreciate your support if you decided to help us out there. It would be greatly appreciated. And again, you can find information about the Insider program over at geeknewscentral.com /insider. And there's information there on how to do that. And you can basically, there's a way to, you know, you can do a monthly, or you can just do a PayPal to podcast@podcastconnect.com and to make a one-time contribution. And it's definitely, and there's a donate button on the page as well. All you got to do is go down and click the donate button, and that'll allow you to do a one-time contribution. But anything that you can do is great. If not, if you're supporting the show already, we thank you. And it's not to beg for more money or anything, but definitely trying to raise money for one more member to go to Vegas. One thing I want to share with you guys, and let me see if I can make this happen. And hopefully I don't screw everything up here when I plug this in. I know that I'm going to get a warning from... Let me go over here and double check. Did we get another warning? No, it kept working. That's good. One of our members at Tech Podcast put together a cool little soundboard app. And so now we can do some cool things like... I guess let's see here. We can let me switch back to this other page, and we can do stuff like this. Or if you need a wake up call, we can have the rooster call in, and somebody with just a little bit of a fun with some sound effects. And I promise I'm not going to be making a monkey of myself and using these too much. I've never used these on the show. You guys know that. Some people have said I should use those. So he's got some nice ones. It's called the Podcasting Sounds FX Board. It's a 99 cents. And, you know, it's got a variety of different sound effects. I think he's got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 25, 50 of them on there. There was one that I was really liked earlier. Which one was, gosh, I guess it doesn't matter. I'm just having too much fun with this thing. There was a gunshot one that sounded pretty good. Yeah, that just goes to show you. If you're not, you can't find anything when you want to. But hey, it is what it is. When you have a little fun with it. So, let me go ahead here and switch to. Let's go back. I think I had you guys on the. You guys on the screen the whole time. Got ahead of myself. All right, so let's go ahead and we'll take care of the last sponsorship spot, and then we'll get into the full-blown tech show, and then we'll talk about everything that's going on here. You know, I've been using the GoToMeeting iPad app. I've been playing with it, did a couple of meetings with it, and, you know, the goading meeting by Citrix is an essential way to work. And really, if you're a business owner, there's really no other app that's going to give you more bang for the buck than Citrix GoToMeeting. And you know, anytime you can share ideas, do problem solving, you can develop creative solutions by working with a team, whether they're back home in the office or if they're in different locations, you know, coming together is absolutely possible with GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It's a powerful and simple way to meet and collaborate online. And it's just an absolute powerful application. You know, I was showing the guys, we had our CES planning meeting Saturday following the Saturday morning tech show. And I was having a little fun with the guys and actually playing around with the actual GoToMeeting app on the iPad during our planning meeting. And they were all like completely blown away that I was able to do what I was doing on the iPad. And, you know, being able to present anywhere, anytime is absolutely essential. And so GoToMeeting allows you to share the same screen, making it easier, of course, for everyone to be on the same page. And with this HD video conferencing option, that's basically you just click it to turn it on. When you can see the face-to-face, it's absolutely incredible. So I want you to try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. And for this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. Remember to use the promo code PODCAST. GoToMeeting is believing. And thanks for Citrix GoToMeeting for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. All right, someone just said in the chat room that the room looks wider. Yes, it does, and there's a reason for that. Let me show you. Or tell you, we're using Mini Burst 128 lights. Comes in a little package like this. I have two lights in there. Not in there. They're actually being used here in the studio. So it's increased the light in the room. I have them actually pointing straight up. And when we get the green screen, I'm going to have enough ambient light now to get a good key. Like I said, I was running absolutely late tonight when I wasn't able to do it. So, yes, we're trying to have much better light in the hotel room. And these pack up small enough. They'll go in the kit with no issue whatsoever. All right, let me go ahead. Let's get into the tech stuff. I've already talked way too long tonight on just funny stuff. And let me go ahead and switch gears and get into the actual tech content. I guess the first thing I want to talk about a little bit here is, let's talk about the Apple Mac Mini. And excuse me, the iPad Mini, not Mac Mini, the iPad Mini. And the iPad 4. The folks at Apple announced 3 million units having been sold already. And they didn't break it out between Mini and iPad 4. So a lot of people are starting to say, what does that mean? And they took a hit in their stock price a bit today. And some people are suspecting that the Mini is not selling that great. And, you know, I sure we'll hear about it more when the earnings report comes out, that maybe we'll break it down. But Apple just said, that all they've really said is it sold 3 million iPads and didn't break it. Said, you know, no difference between the two. So, you know, it's, you know, that's impressive in its general terms, selling 3 million in 3 days. But, you know, really fairly underwhelming from the Appleverse. And, you know, Apple sold 5 million iPhone 5s during its open weekend in September, which is a massive figure, but it was actually well short of what most stock analysts were thinking. So basically, Apple stock has been trending downwards really over the past 6 weeks. And since the iPhone 5 has launched, they went from $700 billion in market capitalization to $580 billion. So does it just say the magic is done? And there's also some new reports out that maybe they've gotten to a point with, I think we went off the air with oh boy. Let me ask. Am I still on the air? Maybe I'm still on. Anyway, so long story short here is that it looks like that there's a downward trend, and people are, having maybe some second thoughts about buying their products on this annual basis and being hit in their wallet $600, $700, $800, and a lot of competition out there. I don't know, Windows 8, I don't think is making that big of an impact, but definitely Android's on the market, and the Kindle and the Nexus 7 and everything else that's come out. I'm suspecting that maybe people are looking at options, and could be a good thing for obviously for the Android stuff, but definitely not good for Apple. So time will tell, and we'll see what happens in their next earnings report. But definitely could be a drop. And everyone is looking. And when you're on top, people just want to. They just immediately want to basically drop kick you, and I think we all kind of expect that. When you're on top, you're looking to get knocked down. That's for sure. All right, switching gears here, let's talk about Facebook. There's a new Facebook browser plugin that keeps you constantly connected. So if you're a big Facebook user and you're always on there a lot, this plugin for Firefox may save you valuable browser space by basically keeping you logged in, and you get updates and you can come into chat and different things by basically it's added to your browser. So it's called the Social API, and this is a new plugin, and you may want to look at the background on this a little bit before you load it. But the folks over at NBC seem to think it's it's a cool plugin and are recommending it. So if you're a big Facebook user and you're using Firefox, you'll definitely want to check this this plugin. Again, it's called the Social API. And we'll see what happens with them. And I imagine that this may be just a start for this company in getting, adding, Facebook, Google Plus, and so forth. I've been really looking at live blogging, and I've done a bunch of research, looking at a variety of different services. I've been bookmarking stuff. I've been looking at plugins. Automattic is just about ready to come out with a live blogging plugin for WordPress. And basically what I really want is when our team is at CES, and depending if they have an iPhone or an Android, when they're walking around and they see something cool and they put their camera on it and hit, boom, take a photo, I want them to be able to either use an app or email to just, boom, send that picture to our live blog, so that as you're watching our live stream, while we're having people in every 10 minutes with a new guest and, doing the coverage that we normally do at CES in our fantastic location in North Hall, outside the convention room, we're going to be in the actual hall in North Hall. What I really want to happen is this live blog to be updating periodically as the guys and gals find cool stuff at the show. Now, I've been looking at two or three commercial services, which they just kill you from a financial standpoint. And if you don't continue to pay month after month after the show, you lose what you've live blogged in their ecosystem, and you can't export it to your system. And I don't want the guys to have to be logged in to WordPress to be able to drag stuff into LiveBlog. I want them to be able to do stuff with an app. So, there's only a couple of options there. And we're really, trying to nail it down and be able to keep fiscally responsible to, basically be able to do this cool LiveBlog for 4 or 5 days. I think it's just going to add immense value for all of our team members and make you guys want to stay at TPN.TV and watch, because the new pictures and new comments and new links will be coming in as we're covering the show, and you guys will be able to go in. If you miss the live coverage, you'll be able to go back in the live blog and look at the stream. So, one thing that we're worried about is, obviously, when you're doing all this stuff, if someone doesn't like what you've posted, they may try to take you down through a copyright infringement notice or something like that. Twitter's right now starting to impose new rules on copyright. So if you link to something that somebody doesn't like and then you get a DMCA takedown, they'll hide your tweet on that. And it's an interesting move by Twitter. And it's one of the reasons why I don't think Twitter is going to be, for us at least, I'm worried about it being a primary live blogging platform, because we don't want to do everything on Twitter, be limited to 140 characters, do a twit pick, and have this stuff stuck on Twitter. We really want it in our ecosystem in a big way. And there's lots of tools to do that. But one thing I commented on is in Google Plus, you can set up pages. And there's already a Google Plus app. So I thought it'd be real cool just use the Google Plus app, give everyone administrator rights to the page that we're going to set up, and then, you know, send it from there. But I was trying to figure, okay, it's cool to have that, but I want that ecosystem back into TPN.tv and wherever else we want to put that embed. There is another app that's being built I've asked the developer to add this new feature that where it doesn't do a new blog post every time someone sends something, if it just updates a single post. So we'll see where that goes. But really what we're trying to do is have a very smart ecosystem. But, you know, getting back to the Twitter thing, you know, with all these DMC takedown notices, we're going to talk about some of that later. And you know, what is someone's definition of a, you know, when you've done copyright infringement? You know, if I'm at the show and I take a picture of something and I make a negative comment about, which we'll probably do because we'll see some stuff that'll be like, wow, what is that? Along with the positive stuff, you know, all it takes is one person to get upset and boom, you're out of the party. But be careful what you're posting on Twitter, because they will crack down on you. They may only remove the tweet, but I'm sure they have some sort of policy in effect when you're linking the stuff you shouldn't be. Okay, again, yeah, and someone said in the chat room, it's all about needing to own the content, and that's where I'm at. I'm big on owning the content. We talked about smart meters already, a little bit about the what's going on with them and having a security vulnerability, but the University of South Carolina has discovered, along with some research by some other folks, that some types of electric meters are broadcasting unencrypted information, and with the right software would enable an eavesdropper to determine whether you're at home. So if you have what's called an automatic meter reading, AMR, or you have a first-generation smart meter that are installed in one-third of the homes in America, your meter can be read by someone that's driving by your house, using a handheld terminal, and they can basically watch that activity. And basically probably what it is they're watching a flat line over period and no spikes, where someone doesn't turn on a bathroom light or repeated open of the refrigerator door, turning on a TV. If that stays flat for a while, they're gonna, you know, that makes you susceptible to potentially being robbed. If someone's doing a casing a neighborhood, they can come in and look at the, you know, at the usage over several days. And if they're internet connected, they could do it remotely as well. So there is some concern out there. There's really nothing at this point where you could do anything about it. So just be aware that there is some vulnerabilities with these smart meters, and where crooks will use exploits, they'll use them any way they can. Now, with the power outage in New York and all the cell phone coverage being taken down, and I know many of you on the East Coast are now just getting power back up. I know a lot of you are still without power, and you're rebuilding and cleaning up and all the things that go along with a disaster like this. You know, payphones have basically went the way of the dinosaur, and they're almost nearly impossible to find anymore. So the question is, when there's a disaster like's happened in New York City, should there still be a requirement through the Public Utilities Commission for telephone carriers to have payphones available? You know, if the power's down for any extended time, probably those payphones would not work anyway. But, you know, the question is, do you think there's a wisdom of forcing telecoms to still make payphones available in cases of emergency like this? I know many people were just basically their cell phones could not connect, and there was nothing they could do. So I'm kind of curious, those of you that experienced this outage and didn't have cell phone coverage, what was your ability? How did you communicate? Did you wish your landline in your home was still hooked up? because many of you have cut the, the analog line and got rid of that. How many of you are going to put your analog line back in because your cell phone went dead? I think it's a good opportunity for the telecoms maybe to regain some customers. So time will tell on this, on how this all really turns out. You know, the MPAA, we've had a long history at this show of really kind of smacking the MPA every time we can, every chance we get. But, you know, the studios are always crying about how, you know, people are, you know, are basically ripping them off. And did you know that the vice president, in a recent meeting with the MPAA, when he visited a board meeting, I don't know why the vice president is going to an MPAA board meeting, but anyway, when he went to a board meeting, he made the suggestion that they start running anti-piracy spots at the end of movies, not only in movie theaters, but run additional anti-piracy spots in the DVDs that you're getting. So, you know, here is, I don't understand why an elected official, you know, is taking time out of his busy schedule to help buddies of his who are looking to, you know, shouldn't he have been worrying about the economy instead of worrying about helping the MPAA reduce copyright infringement? I don't get it. I really don't. And I don't want to make this political. I'm sorry, because this article popped today on Tech Dirt. And just so that, so you guys know, of course, it's going to try to play an ad for me now that I flipped this over. But, isn't there supposed to be like this separation of, isn't there supposed to be like this division? You know, it just seems a little odd to me that, and if you've seen any this video that basically says the making and legal distribution of this film supported over 14,000 American jobs, involved over 600,000 work hours, if you saw that at the end of a movie, that was put there by the suggestion of the vice president. And I just don't understand. First of all, they could have figured this out on their own and done it. But why does it take him to suggest to that group, you know, another way to try to cut down on piracy? It just seems a little bit odd. It really does. And, you know, I'll leave it at that. And maybe Tech Dirt's trying to make a political statement a couple days before the election year. I don't think it'll make a difference, to be honest with you. But it's just, it's bizarre. And I don't think in recent times I ever remember a sitting official is that high of us in a position in the United States government to go into a organization that many of us consider to be hostile and make that type of a recommendation. Now, we've talked a little bit earlier about copyright infringement and what Twitter's been doing, but DMCA censorship has gotten to the point where lots of sites are starting to do revenge. They're trying to do they're trying to take down postings that are making them look bad. You know, the actress Cindy Garcia, who starred in that film that supposedly caused all this trouble in the Middle East, she tried to have that taken down, be a DMCA notice, because basically it made her look bad, and it was rejected. There was a company called Human Synergistics who basically had a DMCA notice issued on a blog that used in context, basically attributed four sentences back to them and basically said, hey, you know, that you can't use that on your site. There's no fair use. Universal has been making false copyright claims through remove negative reviews on one of its albums. A minority order in the Miami Heat sued a blogger in Google in an attempt to censor an unflattering photo of that person. A cartoonist irritated by criticism of their work attempted to get cartoons removed from something awful, accusing the site of theft. Now this goes on, and we've got some of these adult sites that are basically going out and playing hardball with people they think are infringing. And basically he's filing DMCA notices on sites that are criticizing him. So, you know, It looks to me like a lot of people are abusing DMCA takedown notices. I just think there should be a stronger fine for, you know, it's okay if it's a legitimate takedown, that's good. But when someone's abusing the DMCA stuff, there should be a big, big fine for them to do that. And I just, you just don't hear anyone getting fined for, you know, for abusing the DMCA system. And it's, you know, it's too bad, but it'd be nice. It really would be nice if these folks got a knock on the door, and then had, you know, a summons handed to them and said, hey, here's your summons to appear. You're going to, you know, we're going to take you to the court. See how I worked that in there? That was pretty slick, wasn't it? But anyway, it just drives me crazy. It really is. And nothing ever happens to these people that do these abusive takedown notices. All right, Verizon. They're shutting down their app store in March of 2013. So if you've been using Verizon App Store on your Android or BlackBerry handset, they're going to pull the plug. So basically, starting January 2013 via software updates, they're going to shift you to the regular App Store. So the cert apps, specifically business ones, may still remain on some handsets. So be aware that you should avoid the Verizon App Store at all costs. All right, now this is a cool, cool offer. Mobile data, you know, is a big thing. And when we go to CES and other events, we use a lot of data. But now, Virgin Mobile, you can buy a $120 Virgin Mobile card, MiFi, or what's the other one, $40 or something like that for the USB device, $70 for the USB stick. You can buy data now by the day. You don't have to buy a whole month, but for $5, you get unlimited broadband for a whole day. If you can connect to 4G, and I'm getting scratching my, you know, my chin here, thinking, boy, we could use these cards to do some of our secondary streams while we're at CES this year. We might as well test it and see if it'll work. Now, believe me, I understand the data situation at a trade show is nearly impossible, and it may not work. But buy a couple of these, and if nothing else, buy coverage each of the 4 days, and we'll see if they pay for themselves, if they you know, if they'll move a bunch of bandwidth. But if you're if you'd only travel once in a while, and you want to have a 4G or 3G speeds while you're traveling, and you don't want to have a big data plan, you know, just buy one of these and you can pay by the day, which is pretty smart. Now, it costs $5 per day. If you're on 3G, you're limited to 200 megs of data, but those who can find a 4G unlimited data gets basically unlimited data for the day. And again, Verizon uses Sprint. So I've had some challenges with Sprint 4G recently. Just sometimes it's just not that good. And I've actually been complaining about it a lot, and it seems not to work real well in Hawaii right now. So I've been using it here, and my location in Texas hasn't been too bad. All right, some news here. It appears that Apple may ditch Intel chips in Macs. This is a report from Bloomberg. So Apple's considering a move away from Intel chips for its cherished Mac line. The move would be the third major CPU shift for the brand. And obviously, they've been hiring a bunch of their own chip people. So, you know, this should not be news to all of us. We know that they've been looking at this for a while. So we'll see where this goes and at what point this gets announced. No one knows. All right, a couple of articles here for you from Geek News Central. Definitely want to call attention to some of the great content being written on the website. Amazing picture by Curiosity on Mars. It spent Halloween taking a self-portrait, and I looked at this picture and this original image for a while. And I'm like, how did they do this? And I looked and I'm like, where's the arm for the camera? How, you know, I'm looking at this thing trying to figure out how in the world they took it. Basically, they made a composite of 55 different high-resolution images. But what they did is they edited the arm out to improve the image. And so it does kind of look kind of quirky at one spot, but they're going to put up a better picture in a couple of days. But this, I think, I stared at this for so long, I just found it to be incredible. I really did because of the, you know, first of all, they edited the arm out, obviously. But, you know, you're thinking, who's standing there and taking that picture? You know, and it can get the conspiracy theorists are going to get talking. Say, yeah, NASA walked up the thing and took a picture. We won't see any pictures out front because there'll be, you know, footprints out there. But pretty cool. And it kind of reminds me of some old school movies. You know, it's like, look at this robot looking at me. So very, very cool stuff. All right. Also, another great article. If you got to watch this video. This is a safety briefing. It was done by Air New Zealand. And if nothing else, and this is a video that is basically getting ready to promote the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And so this safety message is pretty slick. It gives you a chance to enter for a free trip to New Zealand at the end. Definitely watch the video. Okay, if nothing else, you can, you know, maybe you can win a trip to New Zealand. But watch the video. I think you'll get a big kick out of it. I don't know how much money they spent to make this thing, but especially if you're the Lord of the Rings fan, you'll definitely want to watch this. And this series, I think, is going to be, you know, it's going to continue to be incredible. So we'll see. We'll see what goes on. But anyway, definitely check that out. Link will be up in the show notes for you, of course, at gncshownotes.com. That's where we put all the show notes there, because that's where we don't get penalized for Google for having 30 links on our website. All right. I may use a Mac. I have one sitting here right now. I have a Windows machine over here. But there are sometimes I just don't know some of the keyboard shortcuts with Mac OS X. It's just I don't use it that much. So there's a cheat sheet. Lifehackers come out with a very cool cheat sheet. Print this out, give this to, you know, a family member, and this gives you all the shortcuts that are available in OS X. It gives you a chance to get a little smarter on the operating system, especially if you don't consider yourself a power user. But definitely, you know, I'll have this link up in the show notes. You want to get this printed out. I will be the first to admit here that I am going to definitely have this printed out. And maybe I won't learn a lot, but at least I'll become a little more savvy in using my Mac. Okay, it's getting time where many of you are going on eBay, maybe buying stuff for Christmas, maybe buying something from overseas. When you're buying something from overseas, you have to be very careful on how you actually pay the bill, because you can get whacked with some additional charges by PayPal. So the one thing that you want to do is when you have to do a currency conversion on a purchase on eBay, you want to have them bill you in the currency listed on the seller invoice. And what's going to happen there is that the transaction fee, the foreign exchange fee, will be done by your bank or your credit card versus through using PayPal. PayPal will charge you about $7 to do that currency conversion. And usually you can get that much cheaper on your credit card or through your bank than you could. So, you know, check your options out here. But if you're buying anything from overseas, just be aware of that as an option for you when you're checking out with something from eBay that you're buying from a foreign buyer. And also, whenever you're buying something from a foreign buyer, make sure that the person has got lots of, you know, positive reviews and has delivered what they say they are going to deliver to their customers, or you may end up flushing your money down the drain. I know this is going to get a little bit crazy, but I'm just having too much fun with this thing so far. I'm thinking, okay, I know there's a toilet flush in there somewhere. Let's use it. All right, CBS has signed up with Hulu, but don't expect next-day access to CSI. Hulu Plus subscribers are now going to get access to a number of CBS shows starting January 2013, but it's all on old content. Now, they're going to bring you 2,600 episodes of shows like The Medium, Numbers. They're only big caveats on this. It's going to be previous season catalog. All right, you're only going to get to stuff that was on the previous season. So I guess maybe for you that were cord cutters and maybe missed something, that's going to be okay. But, you know, it's too bad what they have done here. You know, Hulu, I don't know if they're going to survive over the long term, but for those of you Hulu users and using it, definitely this is going to be available. CBS content will be finally. Survival situations. How many of you have been thinking about what you're going to have in your survival kit when you are building it for the next disaster? Now, the one thing that I'm going to have in my survival kit that I will guarantee that will that definitely help my family is something that makes this sound. But also, you definitely are going to want to have some sort of high-energy food. And the folks from Datarex, I'm sorry, I'm having too much fun with that thing, with Datarex have come up with a 3,600-calorie food bar. Now, I'm looking at this thing, and I'm looking at it, I wonder how that tastes. It is absolutely loaded. One bar is 3,600 calories. It has a shelf life of 5 years. Says it doesn't take very much water, but it will it'll basically keep you nourished in the case of an emergency. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself, you know, those would be a couple, buy a couple of those and have those on hand. You may never need them, but you never know when you, especially if you're camping or something and you get lost, you know, 3,600 calories will carry you a long ways. And especially if they don't take a lot of water, that's going to help out a lot too. Because the only time you eat something, you got to have water to digest. And that's always a challenge if you're in a situation where there's not a lot of water. So this may give you the extra energy that you need out there. When you're in a survival situation. So just be aware, and I'll have the link up, obviously, get in the show notes for you to check out. But it's Datarex. The cost on them doesn't say how much. You get $8.45 for one package. It contains 18 chunks that are 200 calories each. So if you eat all 18 chunks for $8.45, you've got 3,600 calories. All right, flying on airplanes this last time, I didn't get an upgrade from San Francisco to Dallas, and I am not a super small guy, but I stay in my own space. I don't invade anyone. I'm not blowing over I'm just about 200 pounds. I'm not pushing into someone else's area. I stay in my little space, but the lady that was sitting beside me, she was like coming into my space, and I thought I was a pillow, and it's really annoying, and I have to, you know, kind of push back and be, you know, excuse me, and I'm trying to be nice and not be a jerk about it, but she could have used this new upright sleeper that I found on Old Gizmo, and this is, she definitely would have looked kind of dorky with it, but at least she could have, not been in my space. Now, I'm looking at this thing, and I don't know if I would be able to use this. First of all, where do you put that in your carry-on? But for it's $40, and for an extra $7, you can get the nice little cover that goes over it, so it makes you look like you're hiding your beard or your lower jaw. So I don't know, but if I'd have had one of these for her, I would have definitely had shared, so she would have been invading my space after I was staying out of her space. All right, over the past couple of years, 10,000 artists have signed up for the Pirate Bay promotion. And what it is, you know, the major labels hate the Pirate Bay, but the Pirate Bay has allowed thousands of lesser-known artists become featured on their site's homepage. And since the promo initiative began in January, 10,000 independent artists have signed up to be promoted by the world's largest torrent site. That's pretty incredible. So those who were lucky enough to be featured have enjoyed a healthy career boost, in some cases earning thousands of dollars from file-sharing fans. So it's pretty cool, and it shows that the artists that are out there are working hard to get exposure. All right, how many of you go to a concert, you take a picture, you tweet that, or you put it on Pinterest or whatever site you're using to put photos on? It's being said now that you could be have your phone disabled during the next protest or event, social event that you go to, because they have the ability now to shut down sections of internet coverage to try to keep people from getting news out, try to get links out. But basically, Apple has received a patent which would allow a company to turn off its mobile devices in areas that are deemed inappropriate for recording or taking pictures. Now, you think about that. Turn off mobile devices in areas that are deemed inappropriate for recording or taking pictures. I mean, they're going to shut your phone. They can shut your phone down. The new technology would also have the ability to shut down communication functions in the device so people couldn't text or make phone calls if they're in an area that are considered sensitive. Here's what's written on their patent. I'm not kidding. This policy enforcement capability is useful for a variety of reasons, including, for example, to disable noise and or light emanating from wireless devices, such as a movie theater, preventing devices from communicating with other wireless devices, such as in academic settings, and for forcing certain electronic devices to enter sleep mode when entering a sensitive area. Wow. Citizen journalist, don't rely on your phones for everything. Keep a standard camera available. And this is pretty incredible that they've submitted a patent for this. Dangerous. When you give people the ability to shut down communications at protest, which are a right in this country, you have the right to protest. Now, some groups, I may not like that they're protesting, but I served 24 years in the Navy, so they had that right to protest. And I don't begrudge them that right. I may not like what they say. I might be in a protest someday, and then I may want to take a picture or something. And if I'm shut down, you're bound and determined to hear about it. But it is kind of an interesting move that Apple has made here. I don't remember seeing anything like that for the Android yet. Do you guys? Such makes you go back and go, huh, doesn't it? It surely does for me. That's for sure. Okay, Pandora has sued ASCAP over sound writer fees, asking court to establish reasonable licensing. This lawsuit filed against the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers is a bid to lower the licensing fees it pays to songwriters, composers, and publishers to stream their music. The suit follows more than a year of failed discussions between the two sides to reach a new rate, with Pandora asking a U.S. District Court in New York to implement a blanket licensing fee that would cover all work under ASCAP representation. The organization membership currently stands at 435,000 people. You know, we've talked about this a lot in this show. Pandora and its 150 million users are a meaningful revenue stream for musicians. And, you know, so they want those royalties to continue. But basically, Pandora's saying, hey, it's too much. It's too much of our operating budget. We're getting killed. And we need a more fair payment scheme. So we'll see where this goes. But definitely, this is going to be in the court system for a while. We'll keep an eye on it. All right, let's talk about the email voting going on in New Jersey. Email voting? You know how it is, how easy it is to spoof email? So basically, New Jersey decided late on Saturday to allow displaced citizens to vote using email or fax. Citizens who want to vote remotely can request a ballot via phone or email and then return a completed ballot via their email or fax to their county clerk's office. The state of New Jersey is committed to holding a fair, and I believe people should be able to vote. But, you know, what's going to stop people from cheating? How are they going to make this happen? You know, there's security issues under normal conditions, yet you have a natural disaster in progress. And, you know, we don't want any of those folks not to be able to vote. But who's going to get taken advantage of here? Now, you know, hopefully this goes off without a hitch and everyone gets to vote and there's no illegal votes placed. But I'm sure this is, you know, if the election gets close. First of all, I don't think New Jersey, we kind of know which way that state's going to roll, so maybe it won't be a big deal one way or the other. But it is definitely an interesting move. I don't get me wrong. I think email voting would be cool as long as they can guarantee security and the people that are getting able to be able to actually, you know, vote securely and make sure that they got the right person. I'm looking here at someone saying the Ustream stuff is buffering. It looks like the flash is staying up, the connection is staying up, so I apologize. I really don't know what's going on here. Hey, Kim.com reveals plans to build a 330 million internet cable between the U.S. and New Zealand. A lot of people think he's going to have many challenges considering his legal position right now, but he wants more speed between New Zealand and the United States for obvious reason, and he's going to go out and try to raise the $330 million to lay a new cable between U.S. and New Zealand. This is something that was proposed in the past by another company. And so, you know, when a guy like Kim.com says he's going to go out and try to raise $330 million, it'd be interesting to see how he does in the first place. But I'm sure to much chagrin to the United... First of all, will the United States even allow his cable to come in knowing that he's going to be a benefactor of it? I don't know. Also, New York City residents, you can vote at any New York State polling place tomorrow. Just don't go to 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or 10 polling places and vote multiple times. But if you're a resident of New York City or Westchester, Long Island, and Rockland counties, you can submit an affidavit ballot for the presidential and U.S. Senator elections at any polling place in the state of New York you like tomorrow. So that'll be able to go, I guess they're calling it a provincial ballot. You can submit an affidavit ballot. Interesting. So they're trying to really make it easy for people to vote no matter where they are. One thing I noticed on my Windows RT is I bought the 32 gig version and, you know, I thought I would have 32 gigs of space. Well, the operating system takes up 16 gigs and I'm only left with 16. Apple doesn't do that to you. When they tell you you have 32 gigs of storage, you get 32 gigs of storage. So this is a little black eye on Microsoft. So, you know, if you bought a 64 gig model, you know, you can, you know, you get a little more storage, but they're still using 16 gigs for the operating system. What were they thinking? Are they idiots over there? I don't get this. Let's see if they can do some fat trimming in upcoming updates. But, you know, if you order a 32 gig RT, you know, be prepared. You're only going to get 16 gigs of storage to use. Gizmodo's reporting on a flash touch sensitive business card. They only cost $8 a piece, but it's pretty cool. If you look at it, you touch it, and the information comes up. Tells your name, telephone number, your email, your link. You can get these built for $8 a card. Be kind of cool to get 20 of them built up and then just you give those to really, really important candidates. And I'm sure this got some USB storage in it too, but this is make a big impression on someone that you're trying to impress, especially maybe a potential employer or something like that. So definitely check that out. It's currently in a you have to do it yourself mode, but someone's going to get, you know, someone will get entrepreneur wise and be able to make these available for you to buy. All right, if you're watching TV tonight, this is the premiere of Startup Silicon Valley. It's a reality series about a tech startup. I'm not going to watch it because I'm just going to get pissed off. A bunch of spoiled children getting something they probably don't deserve. But Startup Silicon Valley is produced by Mark Zuckerberg's sister, Randy, and it's a Bravo reality show. So I'm sure there's going to be all kinds of the typical Bravo stuff we see on Bravo, you know, like the Housewives of wherever, which is just like, huh, over the top. What world do they live in? And so anyway, long story short here, you know, people are poo-pooing this already, but Kevin Rose came out and said, why can't people in Silicon Valley take a joke? You know, all last thing we want to see is a bunch of spoiled kids getting millions of dollars to do a tech startup that probably is going to fail, but it could go to a more valid company. And we'll see. As long as it's Bravo's money, I guess I don't care. That's a real great television station, I'm telling you. All right, Staples have Amazon lockers in the U.S. Very cool. So, you know, Amazon's trying to get stuff so easy for you to pick up. And if you are near Staples, you're going to be able to have your Amazon stuff that you buy delivered to a Staples store. You'll be able to roll in there and pick that up, not have to worry about the UPS man leaving it on your front porch and having your neighbor steal it. So again, Staples to Amazon lockers in the U.S. They made a deal with them. So and while you're in Staples, you can pick up some paper and some other stuff. All right, hey, we talked about Sharp a lot on the, or a little bit during the Saturday morning tech show. And boy, and we talked about their financial straits. And basically, Sharp is seeking bailout after record loss. And so they have, they're working with a known organization in Japan to help them basically get turned around. So we'll see where this goes. But, you know, they hemorrhaged 103 billion yen in cash from their operation the first half of the year. So not healthy at all over there. All right, that wraps me up for content tonight. I've got some email. Let me look here what we've got in the stack. I want to thank all of you for, obviously, for being with me tonight in this remote show while I am on travel. And let me look at the date. The last show was on that date. And we can, oh, I think there was only one, not too much email came in this time. So that's okay. I've got an email here from Danielle. And Danielle lives in Connecticut, and I hope that you've weathered the storm okay, Danielle. Say, hey, Todd, I love your show. She says, do you have thoughts for us that just want a PDA without the cost of a smartphone monthly plan? Do you have thoughts for just of us that want a PDA without the cost of a smartphone monthly plan? I would probably still use my handspring visor if I could get a driver to sync with Windows 7. I thought it was a great tool with direct syncing to your home system without going through a cloud. I bet there's a lot of us out here that love their PDA, stylus, and text entry with graffiti. So, to be honest with you, this is not a market that I'm very familiar with at all, Danielle. Maybe someone from the Ohana is going to be able to give us some tips here. But thanks for your email. I'm glad you love the show, and hopefully someone from the Ohana will be able to reply. And the last email is from Dan, basically saying, hey, Todd, travel tips to unlock an old phone for overseas use. So if you're looking to unlock a phone that you can use while you're on travel, I'll have that link up in the show notes. Okay, the word is that the stream is stuttering and having issues. I apologize about that. It's good old bandwidth when you're on the road. I want to thank all of you that have hung out as long as you could tonight for doing so. And it's been my pleasure to bring you the show. We'll have the obviously show up for you to review here in a few hours, be able to download. But it's been my pleasure to bring the show to you tonight. Don't forget, and those of you on live stream, you haven't seen lower thirds tonight because we've been pushing with a direct connection versus one that's going through Wirecast. But if you want to send an email to the show, geeknews@gmail.com. You can reach me on Twitter @geeknews. Of course, don't forget the email address is geeknews@gmail.com. Our hotline is available all the time at 619-342-7365, or you can send a comment right from the main page at geeknewscentral.com. It's been my pleasure to bring the show. We'll see you next time, everyone. Take care, and aloha.